All right, let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 133. Psalm 133, a Song of Degrees of David, verse 1. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. Let's take a look at Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 1 to 9. Philippians 4, 1 to 9. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you would help us to understand and to apply. We pray that you would help us to understand these texts afresh, that we may be moved in our hearts with that fresh understanding to apply all that you have for us in our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Psalm 133 is a psalm on Christian unity. And from this psalm, we learn how Christian unity is pleasant. It is good. I mean, the psalmist says, behold, how good and how pleasant, which basically tells us that it's a commodity that is quite rare. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is. Now, we're all familiar with Psalm 133, and I decided instead to focus on a more practical application of Psalm 133. Now, to be honest, I have studied 133 before, and I think I have preached it to this congregation before. And after looking at my notes, I can find no other way of presenting it. So I thought, rather than making you listen to the same teaching again, I decided to study something else. You know, something very applicable in a church context when it comes to Christian unity. And we've already read Philippians 4, 1 to 9, and there we were introduced to two women, right? Euodias and Syntyche. These two women, we learn, were at odds with one another, and this was causing the unity and the peace in the church to be threatened. So Paul writes to settle this matter, and he names them because it is actually a very serious matter. Church unity, right, is a serious matter. Schisms in the body, right, you could say, are among the worst sins possible in a church. Right? And I think it's something that we never want to forget. Now, in the 17th heading of the Westminster Confession of Faith, that's on the perseverance of the saints. In paragraph 3, it says this: "Now, through the temptations of Satan and of the world, the prevalency of corruption remaining in them, and the neglect of the means of their preservation, fall into grievous sins." So in other words, Christians, all of us are preserved to the end, right? God saves us and he makes us holy, he preserves us to the end. But often, because of temptation, because of the remaining corruption in us, the sins in us, because of the neglect of the means of their preservation, you know, we do not read the Bible, we do not persevere in obedience, well, what happens? They fall into grievous sins. The Christians can fall into grievous sins, and for a time continue therein, whereby they incur God's displeasure and grieve his Holy Spirit, come to be deprived of some measure of their graces and comforts, have their hearts hardened, and their consciences wounded, hurt and scandalize others, and bring temporal judgment upon themselves. So because we can fall into sin, a result of that is that we can hurt and scandalize others. And if you were here on Wednesday, I was just mentioning that a mark of God's displeasure, and we see here, they incur God's displeasure. If we do not press on in holiness, in using the means of preservation, right, then we incur God's displeasure. And one of the marks of God's displeasure is disunity in the church. So whenever you see a church that is disunited, whisperings, schemings, trying to, you know, push influence, you know, trying to sway, you know, backbiting, and that is a mark of God's displeasure on the church. It shows us that we are not continuing in sanctification, all right? So a mark of God's displeasure on his church is when we hurt, when we scandalize one another, we bite and devour. So we see here that the lack of unity is not a good thing. That's why the psalmist says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity," because it's something that can be lost very easily. Now, there are 3 points that we can gather from Philippians 4, 1 to 9. Firstly, disunity is ugly and it spreads. Secondly, the means to preserve unity. And thirdly, we need to start with our own minds. Okay? So, firstly, disunity is ugly and it spreads. Now, the strife in the Philippian church was so strong that it threatened the growth of the church. Now, we know it was ugly because Paul even heard about it. Now, Philippi and Rome were miles apart, right? Philippi was in Macedonia, Rome was all the way in Italy, but even Paul, in the midst of prison, he had to worry about so many other things. What did he hear? Not that there was just problems in the Philippian church. Not just that, not just generally. What did he hear? Two troublemakers and their names. Right? All the way in Rome, he heard about their names, Euodias and Syntyche. Now, people have long speculated what the problems were between them. And you have a whole host of literature. Right? It's quite funny when you read them. Some people suggest, oh, they had this problem. Other people suggest that they had this problem or that problem. Well, what we know is that they were ministry partners together with Paul, so that means they could have served anywhere in the church. Right? One commentator said perhaps they were deaconesses who could not agree with how to distribute food. Right? Maybe that was the problem. Do we put gravy on the rice or no gravy on the rice? Right? Or put it separately. Right? Fight. Right? Another commentator said maybe they were rival soloists. My high C technique is more spiritual than yours. Right? Another commentator said maybe they were teachers who had different teaching techniques. Now, whatever it was, whatever the disagreement was, Paul did not bring it up, meaning it was not that important. As we all know, most disagreements are, the point of disagreement is not necessarily important, right? But what was appalling was their behavior. Euodias, as you know, I'm sure you may have heard it before, Euodias was odious, right? And Syntyche was soon touchy, you know, very touchy. Right? And what we learn is that the disunity spread. Now, verse 3 tells us that Paul even had to suggest that the whole ministry team in Philippi do something about it. Right? So, you know, what this means is people heard about it. Paul had heard about it. You know, that was the horrible thing. You know, people in church hear many, many things, right? We hear about problems between this person and that person. That's really not a nice thing. We appreciate those who remain gracious and quiet, and we ought not to appreciate those who badmouth others. Okay? Now, secondly, we see the means to preserve unity. Now, Paul says here that there are two things needed to settle the difficulty. First of all, they must agree. They must agree in the Lord, right? It says, I beseech you, Euodias, right? Smelly woman, odious woman, and beseech Syntyche, prickly woman, right? That they be of the same mind in the Lord. Now, by the way, we may laugh at this, but we are all like that from time to time, aren't we? That's who we are. We are odious and soon touchy, right? This is us, right? And so what did he tell them to do? Be of the same mind in the Lord. They were to agree, right? That means they were to find a common ground, be in Christ. Now, it doesn't matter whose high C technique is better than whose. No, right? Frankly, does it matter whether the gravy on the rice is better than separate? You know, some people prefer it on the rice, some people don't prefer it on the rice, right? So there is no sanctified way. But what they must agree on is that these things are not important. But what is important is working together, right? Now, of course, it's impossible to know what the disagreement was, but whatever it is, there are so many things that people in church can agree on. Right? The apostle is urging these two ladies here to get together, talk about these things, right? And from that agreement, what they can agree on, to work on the problems on which they disagree. Right? And really, when people do that, they soon find that when you start from the basis of the areas of agreement, that those areas of disagreement will shrink away. All right? And what he was saying is, what he required also was, in order to do this, sometimes outside help is needed. Verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. So he is asking some people to help them. Specifically, two were mentioned. True yoke fellow, we don't know who that is. You know, most likely it was Epaphroditus. And he also asked this guy called Clement. By the way, you know what the name Clement means? It means peace. Right? That's the meaning of his name. Yeah, Clement means peace. Right? And he not just asked these two, but he says, and with other my fellow laborers. Now, why weren't these two enough? Well, perhaps they were enough, but I think Paul was thinking, ayo, these women are troublesome. It might take more than two people to help them. It may take more, right, other fellow laborers, right? Fellow laborers, others. So we have here, agree in the Lord. Now, the second means to preserve unity is we need to be reasonable, okay? Verse 5, and we have to understand this in context, all right? It says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand, okay? Now, the word moderation simply means sweet reasonableness. You know when people disagree, right? Gravy on the rice, no gravy on the rice, this way to do it's better than... People are not reasonable, right? People are never reasonable. But it says here, let your sweet reasonableness, let your moderation be known to all men. Let everyone see it. You know, when people can see that you are reasonable, that's wonderful. But if you're well known to be stubborn, then it'll be very troublesome. And it's true, isn't it? When we're too stubborn, when we're too obstinate, when we're too, you know, straight, you know, Hokkien word, deep, you know, where this is the way, this must only be done this way, right? Then there can't be unity, right? So as Christians, we learn to be sweet and reasonable. We may not agree, we may, or we may get angry at something, but we are here told, get a grip, right? Learn to say things sweetly. And what is more, the Lord is at hand. He is available for help. You know, when we get into situations like this, we need to cry out to God for help. And that's why we pray for help, right? When we need help, God is near, and we pray. You know, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. You know, the Bible is not just for to pick and choose, right? We just don't take things out and say, oh, this verse supports prayer. It supports prayer. But what is the context? The context is we pray when there's disunity, when we want to show our sweet reasonableness, when the Lord is at hand, we ask him for help, right? So we pray to him. Now, thirdly, we need to start with our own minds. Now, there may not be unity because there may be a perspective problem. And we, you know, when you get two perspectives and it comes head to head, it's disaster, right? But our perspective on the situation may not be right. Our conclusion on the matter may not be right because the heart is deceitful. And therefore, we're told here, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. In other words, we need to guard our thoughts. You know, we need to unify our thoughts. You know, we all have soap opera in our head, right? When there are problems, we think this, oh, it must be like this because, you know. But we are to think correctly, to unify our mind with the gospel and with Christ. Then will we be more sweetly reasonable, all right? The problem is this, we always have an unholy outlook. And we're confident about it. And that's wrong. Should be repented of. So the application is this. Very simply, unity is good and pleasant. It can be achieved. It starts with us taming our minds, working to agree with others by not being stubborn on issues that do not matter. Right? And that's important. And there are a lot of things that don't matter one bit. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray that you would instruct us from out of your word. And we pray that you would grant us this sweet reasonableness. We pray that you would instruct us to work towards unity. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.